just then you this week. I don't know if we mentioned this before, but we usually record the Sunday before we post it up on the Monday, which would make today Super Bowl Sunday in the States. And being that we are, I think, 3/5 American or something like that, most everybody is off doing their Super Bowl Sunday celebration, party, event, gig. It's a game I'll check out, but it's not something I get overly hyped about, so that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
Being that there's just the two of us, we're going to make it, or we're going to keep it short. I mean, most of it is the fact that Daniel got some hands-on time with the 3DS yesterday, so why don't you tell us about that?
All right, so I'm gonna cut the, because I got there about 40 minutes early, so I had to wait outside because they weren't letting anyone in before their slot. I waited outside, and then when it was my time, I got my sort of wristband they give you, and scanned my thing in, and I posted a message on Facebook, and there was this cool, there was stands with like all of Nintendo's handhelds up until now, and that was pretty cool. And they,
so how long is this wall? Because I would assume
it wasn't that, it wasn't that big. It wasn't that big. It had the had the Game & Watch, and it had the Game Boy and the various iterations of that. And it had a video being played with a bunch of developers talking about how the 3DS is awesome for games and stuff. And then we were showed this cool mat that was supposed to show off, like, demonstrate kind of how Street Pass works, but it kind of didn't. It was just about, like, you would stand on it, and it would sort of put a circle, a square around you.
Carry on.
So, yeah, after we sort of stood on this mat thing, we were, we kind of walked into this small room, because there were, like, different sections. And there was, like, a stage, and there was a guy. The stage was kind of like something from Street Fighter, and there was a guy dressed as Ryu, or whatever, however you say it, and I was like, oh, God, what's coming? I wasn't looking forward to it. And then a guy who looked rather goofily like Ken walked out, and they started, like, and then you could hear, like, Street Fighter music and sound effects, and they were, like, force fighting each other, and I was standing there going, oh, God, what have I got myself into? And you know how, you know when you stand there in a Street Fighter game, they kind of do, like, a bobbing left and right thing?
Yeah.
They were doing that as they were, like, as people were taking pictures of them, and I just stood there and thought, oh, this is a little bit silly. And, so then we were ushered in, when they did that, we were ushered into another room, and then this American woman came out, and you could barely see her, and she was talking about how she's Claire, her name is Claire Redfield, and there's, like, the next area is going to be dangerous, so you've got to go in, like, in a group of 10, and you've got to, and it's dark, so you've got to hold the shoulders of the person in front of you. I was like, oh, God, can this get any worse? So we went into this room in the line of 10, and there were
holding hands.
We were holding onto the person in front's shoulders, and there were people, like, dressed as zombies and stuff, and they were dressed as Chris Redfield, and, like, the woman playing Claire Redfield, she was shouting, and Chris Redfield was shouting, and you couldn't really see anything. And then we went into another room. They were just waiting for everyone to get through, and there was, like, a room with TVs on it, with TVs on the wall, and they were showing footage from various, like, Ubisoft games. And then when we all got in, Jonathan Ross appeared, which is a UK celebrity. I don't like him at all. And I was like, great, that's all I need today. It's Jonathan Ross. So he was talking about how... What was that?
I was going to say, I've heard, because he was the one who hosted the original event, right?
Yeah, he was the one in Amsterdam or whatever.
Yeah, I still don't know who he is.
He's like, he's a TV presenter who got into trouble a while ago for some remarks about some prostitutes, I think it was. Anyway, I don't like him. His voice annoys me, and he makes a lot of jokes that just aren't funny. So, yeah,
like,
and then he finished, and they were like, right, you're going to get to play it. Yeah, and then he said, then we were told that we were going to play it, and I was like, finally! So I got into this room, and there were 3DSs everywhere, and they had different games. They had pilot wings. They had Dead or Alive. They had Pro Evo. They had... Oh, what else was there? I've already forgotten, and I only went to it yesterday. They had...
That's how special the 3DS launch lineup is.
Nintendogs and Cats. They had Face Raiders. They had the AR games. They had Steel Diver. And they had something else, and I can't remember what it was because I didn't actually go and play it. Overall, I was actually pretty impressed with it, the 3D in particular. But I noticed that, heard this, other people say this, but the sweet, like, it has like a sweet spot, and depending on the game, it depends on like how well it, the 3D works. And I know I kind of couldn't get into the 3D sort of sweet spot for Pro Evo at all, and it really was quite jarring trying to look at that, so I just turned the 3D off.
Yeah, I was about to say, that sounds like the other option is that, you know, you can try it. Because, I mean, I assume you played around with the side of this.
Yeah.
What was optimal viewpoints for you. But it's one of the things that I still don't get about the console is that it's a 3D system with motion controls, which doesn't really own itself to doing either or. And it seems like some games use the motions while it's using 3D, which means you can't have that sweet spot. It also kind of defeats the purpose of kind of being a handheld. Like if you fit, like if you play it on the road, like if you're commuting, train, bus, car, train, you're always in motion, so it's not like you can hold it perfectly still.
Yeah, I did notice that you really have to hold it quite still to stay in the sweet spot. Otherwise, you can't. Otherwise, there's no really having the 3D at all. Sweet spot seems to get kind of have it halfway on and halfway off, if that makes any sense. I know. And but even then, it's it again with the games, it's hit and miss. Even if you are in that sweet spot, as I said, Pro Evo didn't work. I didn't find it to work very well with the 3D, but Pilot Wings worked really well. But that's all. That's nothing. I expected nothing less from a first-party title anyway.
Yeah, so say, Nintendo, I mean, for the most part, I assume some of the games, because, I mean, most of these games are just kind of console ports, you know, Street Fighter, with 3D thrown in, so I don't expect them to kind of, I mean, granted, I don't know about Dead or Alive, it could be an original title, but I assume it's just like the console version with 3D tacked on, where Nintendo kind of, I mean, there is no Pilot Wings for them to copy. I mean, the first one was on the N64, but the last one was on the N64.
Well, even if it was already on the console, I would expect Nintendo to get it right anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then another section there was all about like the social features and stuff, and Spot Pass, which they couldn't really demonstrate because obviously all the 3DSs were set to specific games, so they couldn't really demonstrate that. They had Face Raiders, which was pretty neat. It was like a game where you take pictures of two people and then start shooting each other or something. The Meme Maker is really good, actually. I saw a couple of people use them, and like what it does is when you take a picture of your face, it puts your face, the picture over the Meme while it's kind of generating it. And the Mii like struggles to get the block off its head, and when it does, it then displays what the Mii finally looks like, and it's quite funny, and for the most part, it works really well. And I saw a number of people try it out. I think it needs a little improvement when it comes to people's eyes, but Nintendo could easily put that in.
You say that, but they'll probably, I mean. The thing I fear for the Miis is kind of the same thing that happened with the Miis on the Wii, is that they kind of release it and don't do anything else with it afterwards.
Yeah.
Like they haven't given you any new options. I mean, I like the simple, clean look so you don't have to worry about, you know, finding certain stuff, but If they, you know, if they had done it, like the avatars are even home, where, like, you know, maybe if you bought a Nintendo game, you get, like, a Nintendo t-shirt or a Nintendo magic underwear. Stuff like that goes a long way to integrating. Because, I mean, for the most part, the Miis are kind of integrated into different parts of the system. It's just that they don't change the core Mii.
Well, I think because now you'll only have one friend code, I think it might, you may get a sort of gamer tag thing with your Mii on it. They could do that.
Well, if I mean, again, I base this OU on what I know from the Wii and the DS, but if it's like that with the whole friends just in gamer tag, is that you input your friend's number, they input your number, and then you get to name them, which I personally think works out better.
Yeah. Well, even so then, it could still display the Mii.
No, yeah, and then you get to put their Mii. Like, you add them. Like, I don't know if you've done it with the Wii, but the Wii, you can add a person, you'll name them whatever you want, and then you can associate a Mii with them so you know who it is.
Yeah.
And that works, because, I mean, honestly, some people have nice names, and other people, like, I don't need to know my friend Six Kitten 69.
Yeah.
It's not a cute. So.
Yeah, and another thing that I was actually really impressed with was the augmented reality games. They actually, there's a lot more to them than I initially expected there to be. So they had a bunch on the table. I think all the ones that they had were the same card. But you point the camera at the card and it'll say, oh, I found the card, but can you hold me 35 centimeters away? And it actually knows how far away the card is from the camera, which is pretty neat. And so you hold it the requested distance away. And the one I played, it was you'd see targets pop out, and you could actually adjust the system so you could aim at the targets and stuff. And then it would actually change the surface that it's on. So for example, it made it so it looked like the card had dug into the table that it was on, and there was a target down there. So you actually had to kind of lift it over the card in order to shoot it. It was pretty good. And there was about 6 or 7 levels to it, and the last one was a dragon would come out, and you have to shoot the different parts of the dragon in order to kill it. And it was quite cool. There's not much else to say, really, other than they had some videos they have some 3D video content planned with Sky, which is a cable company, or a satellite company, over here in the UK. And they had a couple of videos of Mario Kart, but it just looked like Mario Kart.
Yeah, I assume that you're going to get some 3DS stages. But for the most part, again, Mario Kart's the type of... You know, I don't want to say that because, you know, you say that in a Nintendo will turn the tables on you somehow.
Yeah.
And invent some new 3D Mario Kart type gimmicks where you have stages where, you know, there's probably multiple levels and stuff.
Yeah.
Who knows?
What else was there? There wasn't much else to speak of. There was Nintendogs and Cats, but it just looked like Nintendogs and Cats. Nintendogs with Cats, yeah.
Yeah, I don't... Well, you could see how that would benefit from 3D. The adorable dogs on the screen, 3D or whatever. Did you play Steel Diver?
I played Steel Diver, and because I've actually managed to play back when Steel Diver was just a Nintendo DS tech demo, and it wasn't a lot different. Apart from the fact that you get the periscope missions, where you tilt it with the gyroscope. But again, my problem with that is it takes you out of the sweet spot.
Yeah, which is. I was surprised that I'm sure it's weird that Nintendo would do that.
Yeah.
I think they would. Maybe they have some type of thing where it's not too heavy on 3D, and maybe it still looks 3D when you're moving it. But yeah, I would assume you have this sweet spot, and if you keep on moving the system, it's not, you know, it defeats the purpose of being in 3D.
I was really surprised at how good the 3D looked. I just thought it didn't. I didn't expect it to add much to the game, but when I played Pilot Wings, I really kind of got a sense of depth when it came to flying around and going through the targets. It was quite weird. I didn't expect that at all.
Have you ever seen a movie in 3D?
I have, and I didn't think they looked that great in 3D.
Okay, yeah, I was going to ask, how do they compare?
The game, I think the games work a lot better than in 3D than the movies do, simply because I think the glasses are kind of a disconnect.
Well, I think that's one of the biggest hurdles, and that's something that, I mean, even if you have like 3D on the PS3, you still need the glasses.
Yeah.
Which is why I think the 3DS got so much forward momentum behind it, is because at the time it was the only device. I mean, I think it still is the only device, but Sony has announced like...
Well, they're starting to come out with TVs, but they're not doing really well because it's really expensive and they're not big. This is just in Japan, though. Yeah, so far it's the only real glasses-free... The glasses-free 3D device that actually maybe has actually some real potential behind it.
Yeah. So, I mean, has it changed your mind? Are you looking forward to buying it now?
Well, no, because the launch lineup isn't great, and all the 3D in the world can't fix that. And the price is a little too high for me. Why, again, I'm one of these people who thinks, why would I buy a 3DS when I could buy a PS3 for 40 quid more? Or not even that, in some cases.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I'm mainly waiting for, like, killer franchises like Phoenix Fright, because it's going to happen, and Pokemon, because that's going to happen as well.
Am I mistaken? Is the Phoenix Wright and Professor Layton crossover, is that a 3DS title?
I think it could be. But I'm not. I would rather have. I would rather wait for a dedicated Ace Attorney game than just a crossover title. Because, like I said in a previous episode, anything in Professor Layton just hurts my brain. So.
Okay, not bad. But yeah, it's kind of weird. I know people who are buying a 3DS based on stuff down the line. Okay. People are complaining about the launch lineup, and they're like, you know what, it sucks that Nintendo has no games I want to launch. And I'm thinking, why not wait until there are games you want to buy a system instead of buying a system and waiting for games you want?
Yeah, that's the way I'm going to do it. Because, this is not likely to happen, but Pokemon and Ace Attorney may never come out, in which case I would have bought a system for nothing.
Well, okay, we know that's not true.
Well, it's not true, but it could be the case.
Well, I was going to say partially because I think Nintendo already announced Nintendo announced they're working on a Pokemon game for the 3DS, and then...
Yeah, but
you know,
main point is don't assume.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like if you bought a PS3 for Final Fantasy in, like, 2006 and you have to wait until 2010, you've missed a, $300 price drop?
I know some people who bought the PS3 solely for GT5, and look how long that took to come out.
Yeah, and again, you're missing like $300 price drops and a new model, so it makes no sense. Wait until the game you want is out, and maybe you can even find a bundle with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't get why you're complaining about it having no games and you're going to buy it anyhow.
Seems like, a bit counterproductive.
Yeah, and this is the same thing I have with any console. It's never about the tech behind it. I'm always about what games are for it.
Well, that's what they're designed to do, is play games.
But you know, people are like, oh, you know, this is new, nice, shiny, and like we want it. And I'm like, yeah, that's nice and all, but that, you buy it and then there's nothing for it. Like, it makes no sense to have a PS3 and no games to show it off. It makes no sense to have a 3DS and no games to show it off. So wait until the games you want are out there. My rule of thumb is usually 5 games, but I know not everybody can wait for that.
Some people are easy.
Yes. So, has there been anything else you've been playing?
Duty Calls, Game of the Year all years.
Well, I mean, how many times have you played that? Because that game's all over 5 minutes.
I played it twice, just because I wanted to see how funny it was, like, myself, and then I was showing somebody else it. Although, if you haven't played it, you should go and look it up. It's at thedutycalls.com. It's free, and it's just a marketing stunt by Epic to promote Bulletstorm, but it's so brilliant.
It is. It's also kind of... it's the same type of games they make, so...
What do you mean, it's the same type of games they make?
Well, I mean, it's the same type of... You know, what is it? frat boy games, or whatever you want to call it, you know, like the big out and obnoxious violence over the top.
But I think the whole idea is just to point out how generic military shooters are, which is what
yeah.
we seem to be doing that's almost exclusively nowadays.
Well, I mean, to be fair, last time, you know, Activision and Infinity Ward got accused of that, they reinvented the wheel with Modern Warfare. Maybe they'll go back again, and I don't know. I mean, they already did past, present, and Halo kind of does the future, but who knows? Maybe they... Well, actually, doesn't Ghost Recon do the future?
Yeah, but when was the last time we saw a Ghost Recon game? And the
well,
thing
that's what
is,
I mean, after...
Ghost Recon is it's squad-paced, so it's a little different.
Well, I was talking about Ghost Recon, the new one.
Yeah, but we haven't heard about that since E3.
Yeah, well, we had the Wii version.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody talks about that.
Wait, the Wii? It's out on the Wii?
Yeah, the Wii version, because the Wii version isn't a third-person shooter. The Wii version, for God knows whatever reason, is a on-rails game.
Oh. So basically, it's just yet another on-rails Wii game.
You see, okay, I don't want to say I like real shooters.
Yeah, there's no point. There's no shame in liking them, but it's just another one.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's like a first-person shooter on the 360 or the PS3.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, look, we have Dead Space. We're going to make it a real shooter. We have Ghost Recon. We're going to make it a real shooter. Even Transformers is a real shooter.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah, anyway, yeah, the Duty Calls, it's quite a funny little marketing campaign for Bulletstorm. And I got a few kicks out of it.
Yeah, it's a fun demo. I like how... I mean, again, I've only played Modern Warfare, so I don't know how... I mean, I assume it's true.
It is.
It's just like Modern Warfare that I've played. But I have the end where he's like, you know, I have thick accent, so that means I'm
only,
a bad guy.
The only issue I have with Duty Calls is they... I wonder if they sacrificed the PC demo for Bulletstorm for that. Because I know a lot of people would rather... a demo for a game they're planning on buying than a little market employee for it.
Yeah, which is... But it's kind of weird, because there's a demo for the 360 and PS3. I mean, why can't they just release that for the PC?
I mean, Crytek ended up giving in, because so many people complained that there was no Crysis 2 PC demo.
It's also kind of funny, and I don't want to shag on Activision too much, but I remember when... Like, the main reason so many people bought Modern Warfare, at least I did, was because they had that huge beta... Where you got to try out, like, yeah, they don't do that anymore. They don't do betas or demos for their games anymore.
It seems to be a very weird position that the developers and publishers are taking, it where they just don't release demos for some reason, and then especially on the PC, and then they wonder why people pirate their games
or why people don't buy it. Like, I remember Darkside was a game where they released a demo like a month and a half after the game came out because sales weren't that great.
Like, just do it in the first place, and then. You won't have to complain about your sales.
And I realize that some games are harder to demo than others because, RPGs are really tough games to demos, I think.
Yeah, but, you've got a point there, but a lot of games aren't RPGs. Let's put it.
No, that's true, but I was just thinking of, like, I know Final Fantasy doesn't have a demo.
Yeah. But saying that, they have done Final Fantasy demos before, no?
Yeah. I just assume that it's kind of hard to... Because I was thinking of Darksiders, and Darksiders, like, Darksiders literally ended up giving you an entire dungeon.
Yeah.
So that you... And that's, like, an hour-long demo, so you can get a feel for the game. And then there's other games like Crackdown, where it kind of, you know... It
gives you a half hour.
Yeah, and then once you break it... Cause, I think, was the same way, where they give you a time which you can expand. But, yeah... Like GTA would. I think GTA demos well because all you gotta do is give people like 5 missions and something to go crazy about, and that's it. But yeah, as for myself, I've played. I don't remember if I talked about it. I finally beat Wolverine.
Oh yeah.
And Wolverine. I mean, I don't. It was a fun game. I think it could have probably cut some time, but. It was a decent game, and it was a decent God of War clone for the most part, which a lot of action games seem to be.
Yeah.
And I started Sonic Colors, which I really have to say I'm enjoying at this moment.
Oh, what, on the Wii?
Yeah.
Well,
I'm three roads in.
A lot of people have been saying it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, but you know, like people say that, like I don't know. I'm a Sonic whore. I own Sonic, and I own Sonic and the Secret Rings. There's a copy of Sonic the Hedgehog in my house. As much as I hate to admit it, I've owned Sonic Unleashed. I own Sonic 4. So, yeah, I'm one of those people who believes. I'm not one of those people who falls for Sega like every time we're gonna change. But I do like Sonic games, and I always hope that they're decent.
Yeah.
But this is actually pretty fun so far. Like, it's not just like, oh, this is fun for a Sonic game. It's actually pretty enjoyable right now.
Well, it seems that Sega are actually on the right track, which is something.
Yeah. But there are still moments in the game, and I literally tested this, where you have no control over Sonic. Like, there's a stage where, like, half of it, you don't control the guy. Like, I took my hand off the controller, and he just keeps on going.
Reminds, it's kind of like the, I don't know if you've seen it, the video where the guy... He sits down and he can play. He holds his hand out still and he plays Kinect Joyride and he doesn't move his hands and he gets third place.
Yeah, and yeah.
It's like, so, why do you do that?
I mean, it makes for some cool set pieces, but at the same time, it's like, yeah.
And it's nice to see that Sega actually added characters, not just for the sake of it. They actually made it so the characters change something.
Yes, and they did it in such a way that they changed Sonic.
Yeah.
Not that they changed. Tails, they changed Big the Cat, Amy,
yeah.
Rouge, Knuckles, it's Sonic. It's just Sonic. Honestly, it was actually kind of weird too. It's one of the games, and maybe it's because I don't use the controller enough anymore.
Yeah.
Where I started, because for some reason, if you start off with the the GameCube controller pack, then that's the controller some games default to.
Yeah.
So I played the first level, the first world of the GameCube controller. And I didn't like it at all because of the button placement. Like, you need to press Z to use your powers, X to slide, Y to dash, A to jump.
Yeah.
And if you use the Wiimote, it's like A to jump, B to slide, and you waggle to
slide. So, yeah. That sounds a lot more intuitive anyway.
Yeah, it is. And that's kind of, it's one of those things where it's like, it's just easier to use the Wiimote. And I think that's because they have everything on one hand, and it's within firm grasp, whereas you have Z, X, Y, A, and stuff.
By the sounds of it, they use waggle properly. Yeah, yeah, you're waggling, but it doesn't get tiresome because you're doing it to do one thing and one thing only.
Yeah, and it's not even like it's something that you really screw up. It's because you know, it's just activate powers. It's not like, and this is a problem I had with Donkey Kong Country Returns, where one, it was mapped to three different things, but sometimes you want to do one thing and the other thing pops up and that can screw you over. This doesn't happen here. You have one power, you activate it, you're good to go.
Sounds like Sega actually did a good job all around then.
Yeah. The only thing I have issues with so far, the boss battles are extremely short. Like, I think they can be best... I think I bested the first two in, like, 45 seconds. And this, the second one, I didn't even know what I was doing, so...
Oh. That's all. Well, that's not really good if you can beat a boss battle with not knowing how.
Well, I mean, I figured out after I attacked him the first
time.
Oh,
right, yeah.
But, yeah, it's kind of weird. Maybe, you know, on the other hand, you have the other type of boss battles where they're long and tedious, and you make one mistake and you have to start over again. That can also be frustrating, so...
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, like I said, I'm only in the third world. Maybe as I progress, the bosses get harder and tougher.
Well, that would make sense.
Yeah. As long as, because that's not true. I've bested some 3D Sonic games, but some of them, I've seen, like, the final bosses, and some of those things are just tedious, tedious amounts of work.
Yeah, but by the sounds of some of the Sonic games released before now,
they're tedious works. Yeah, so. But yeah, I've seen the final boss for Sonic the Hedgehog, and it's a boss you need. It has, like, I think it has, like, two or three forms, but you have to keep on switching between Sonic Silver and Shadow.
That doesn't...
So, yeah, that doesn't make it fun at all. That just makes it really long. So, yeah.
It's nice to hear Sega are on the straight and narrow now. Well, we say that. How long will it be before they screw up again?
Well, I mean, on the other hand, there was, Sega had their financials, their Q3 results or whatever, which everybody seems to be doing. And they noted that Sonic Colors has sold close to 2 million copies.
Yeah. If they mess it up next time, then there's something seriously wrong, because they know that when they do good, people buy the games, so...
Yeah. So, I mean, they have a formula. I mean, I know you're not always a fan of it, but to me, just, like, use the same engine and just get really good stages out of it. Like, if you have a solid core, there's no reason for you to try to reinvent the wheel. Don't throw in other characters or anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I maybe would, you know, stay away from using the same all the same powers because it kind of
I think, by the sounds of it, the thing that Sega did right this time around is they kept it simple.
Yes. And it's a Sonic game. You run from point A to point B. And, you know, what they did, and this is something that's I'm gonna get back to, and maybe my impressions of the game changes or maybe it gets better, is that it encourages exploration because it's kind of like, you play Super Mario World, right?
Yeah.
You know, like how you had, like, the red blocks, the blue blocks, and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, where you get powers, like, you get the powers, certain powers in different worlds. Then you can go back, and some of these powers you see in the stage, but you couldn't access them because it wasn't open. But once you get in the main stage, it opens up in all the stages,
oh,
so you can go back, and it's like, oh, okay, now I have the drill power, and I can drill here. Maybe I'll find
it. Yeah.
Because you can collect these red coins. I don't know what they do yet. I'm afraid that I'm going to collect all of them, and then it's going to be like, I'm going to collect them, and it's going to come to the end, and it's like, you need, like, 70 of these, like, 50, because I didn't, you know, like, right now, they're not really doing anything for me.
Yeah. Well, at least if you have to go back, it's not going to be tedious because you've got new areas to open up.
Yeah, which is, you know, which is part of the thing Sonic games have been missing. It's mostly been you run down this path and you're good to go. Like I said, you know, like you don't have, there are parts where you don't have control, but they do give you an actual, you know, it's like a bit of Mario in there where you explore and you try out different paths.
Yeah.
So.
Oh. Sounds good.
So, I mean, I think that's it for what we've been playing. Any final thoughts or comments on your 3DS event?
I would like to see more games. And other than that, more games. And that's all the 3DS needs. I mean, even the other things I haven't mentioned, like the circle pad, they work really well. And the circle pad in particular is as far as I'm concerned, a much-needed addition. I mean, maybe now we'll get a Pokemon game where you can walk in 8 directions instead of 4.
I'm actually kind of, well, I mean, we know the first Pokemon game for the 3DS would probably be an enhanced version of Black and White.
I would still play it.
Oh, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I don't expect it to be the type of Pokemon. It's kind
the
of
next
it's
generation of Pokemon anyway, at least.
Yeah, the next generation, I think, is going to be the one that really reinvents the... I mean, from what I hear of this one, though, it really does mix it up a lot, so...
It does, but I think that come next generation, there's going to be a whole lot of change.
Yes, there should be. I mean, it's kind of been the same game for 15, 16 years now.
Pretty much.
And it's the one franchise where people give Nintendo a free pass on it. And I you know, everybody has their opinions on how similar some Nintendo franchises are or whatever. But Pokemon, for the most part,
I have to admit, for someone who is a bit critical of Nintendo for having rehashes, Pokemon is the same game, and I have to admit, I keep buying into it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like everybody, you know, like for Nintendo, at the end of the day, you've seen 20 million sales for a game.
I could argue that the differences between Diamond and Pearl and Ruby and Sapphire were this and this, but it would only be stuff that people who know a lot about the games like me would care about.
Yeah,
so,
like, I mean, there are differences, but for the most part, it's the same core game. Like, sure, they might add beauty pageants, and they might add a Pokewalker.
They might
change
some
like
battle mechanics, but again, nobody cares about that apart from people like me.
So it's still kind of the same. It's still the same battle system they've had since '96. It's still the same type. You know, it's the rock paper scissors mentality of gameplay. And again, if you have something that works and it works well, there are no other games like Pokemon. As much as people try, it makes no sense. But they do really need to kind of reinvent the wheel with that. I mean, they're going in the right direction. They're making it more online-focused, you know, different types of battles.
That's the main thing I'm looking forward to with the 3DS is because now you've got... I mean, I said that you have, like, too many inputs with the NGP. I think the 3DS has just the right amount instead of just putting something there for the sake of it.
Yeah, I mean, again, and, you know, I know there are traditionalists who don't always care for it. But if you have a touchscreen, I really don't think you need an analog stick. It's the same reason, the same way the Wii gets away with having one analog stick, is that if the other thing can act as an aim.
Yeah, because you can use easily, because you only need one analog stick if you have a touchscreen. I mean, I know the games weren't great, but Metroid Prime on the DS showed that you can just use the touchscreen as kind of an analog stick, you know?
Yeah. And it should work better than an analog stick, because you're not bounded by any directions or whatever. You can move for free, and it's better. I would say it's almost like a mouse, where you pick it up and you move it back to the center if you need it back in the center or whatever. Because that's the main issue with the Wii, and I assume the Move, is that there is no central location. So in order for you to put it back in the center, you have to move it back to the center, which might not always be the center you started off with. Yes, I mean, we might as well, since we're keeping the show. Is there any news this week that you want to talk about?
Not that I've really been. It's not really much news that I've been interested in, other than the whole Duty Calls thing, but we've been over that.
Yes, there's not much. Namco announced that they're going to Yokoi's Tales of Grace, as far as I know, only for the States so far. I don't know if it's out in Europe. I'm kind of curious about it, because Tales of Grace 6 Nights, I'm curious if it's just going to be Namco has already kind of screwed the pooch with the Tales franchise, because they don't know how to build a user base.
Yeah.
Because Tales of Symphonia was on the GameCube. I think there was a Tales of Symphonia port for PS2 that never made it to the States. Then they came out this gen, and Tales of Vesperia was on the the 360, and the PS3 port that never came out. Then they had Tales of Symphonia Dawn of the New World, which came on the Wii, and then there was nothing else. And they had Tales of Grace, which is apparently coming out for the PS3. So it's like, you know, pick a console, pick two consoles, and kind of build a base on those.
Pick a region to release those games in.
Well, yeah, I mean, they released them in Japan, but it's like, they're not huge sellers and stuff like that.
I know a lot of people that are excited about Tales of Grace, though, so...
Yeah, it looks like a really... I like the Tales games. I can never beat them because I kind of get bored halfway through, but I like the fact that they're more, you know, like they're action RPGs instead of being turn-based.
Yeah.
Kind of. But it's, you know, you can still pause and give your teammates command and use magic and items and stuff like that. But you get direct control over, like, special moves and attacks and stuff like that, which is one of the things that's always held me back about RPGs. I've always felt turn-based battles. To me, personally, I could just kind of show.
Yeah, I can understand where you're coming from with that.
But yeah. And I think Ubisoft announced a Splinter Cell collection. HD collection.
Oh yeah, for the PS3.
Yes.
Yeah,
I can hear the excitement in your voice there.
I know, I just think that developers and publishers are getting a bit too remake happy. What with the supposed rumors continuing of a Halo remake.
Yeah.
I think they're getting a little too remake happy. I mean, there's a ton of remakes on HBLA and PSN anyway, but I think they were, now it's, because people are buying them, obviously, and they're going to release things that people buy into. I just think they're getting too happy.
To me personally, I think this is just a sign of the generation going on way too long.
Yeah.
And I know everybody doesn't want a new generation, because it means $300-$500 investments for us as gamers, which makes perfect sense. At the same hand, most studios creatively bankrupt. I mean, you're either getting into the tail end where it's just like sequel after sequel because they have an engine that they want to make money off of.
Yeah.
Get these remakes, or you get the collections, and I'm all for collections. I don't mind them. I don't really even think they need to be in HD. If you just bundle 3 or 4 games together and you sell it at a discount price, I'm fine with that, but you're just kind of getting to the point where, you know...
That's all they come out with.
Yeah, Sony's had the God of War collection, the Prince of Persia collection, the Splinter Cell collection, the Tomb Raider collection, the Psy collection. It's kind of like... Yeah, okay.
Another
we get
one.
It.
Yawn.
And especially with the Tomb Raider one, which is, again, games from this generation. I think Splinter Cell is a game from last generation. It's like Chaos Theory.
Yeah.
And Pandora's Tomorrow and stuff like that. But from what I hear, it doesn't look that... the marketing as like a Splinter Cell HD collection, I hear it doesn't look that great. Like their Prince of Persia collection.
Yeah.
So, what can you do? But anyhow, Super Bowl Sunday, so I mean, at this point, everybody would have seen the game and know who's won, and let's just say it was a hard-fought battle, and either team could have won, and we congratulate the winning team on their Super Bowl victory. But
couldn't have said it better myself.
But for Dona and myself, this has been Dual World in episode 19.
19. Two-person edition.